Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Kalen Patterson of the O'Kellen clan. Of the O'Kellens and the O'Pattersons. And this is P4P Real Talk, Midwest Muscle in the house, in your ear, in your earlobes, and on the radio. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in all of the world. And if you, yes, you drug-free athletes, are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on, maybe with better balance and no stumbling, and a vehicle to drive your goals like what, Desiree?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream and a side of roasted vegetables and snickerdoodle sprinkles.
See? I knew it. I still take those snickerdoodle sprinkles anywho, but check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let us chit-chat with a banter. Hello, Desiree.
Hello. Hello, 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 listener. And I had to throw the roasted vegetables in there because I'm wrapping up dinner. I have to feed my family, and I'm running behind today. So I'm making roasted vegetables, and I'm trying a new oil. It's algae oil. I'll let you guys know how this goes. I usually like avocado oil, and I'm out of avocado oil. I'm out of olive oil, and for some reason I must have thought buying algae oil was a good idea, so I have it in my pantry, and so we're going to see how this works out. Just
this
a little
lady.
Bit, mind you, just smattering, just a drizzling.
Lady.
We're not drowning. We're not drowning the vegetables in oil. We're not doing that. That would be inappropriate for my vegetables.
You know, this. You know, I've never seen so much. This is a new level for you. I just got to throw that out. This. Oh my goodness. Yeah, you want to introduce our guests so they can see why I'm so huffy and puffy?
I don't even know why you're being huffy and puffy. It just wound up
that
way. You know why? Because Kalen doesn't like to eat his vegetables. That's what it all comes down to.
Oh, my goodness.
Otherwise, why would you be so huffy and puffy about a few roasted vegetables? We're having chicken, all right?
Can you
in the
say
oven.
That one more time? You sure you don't have a script sitting in front of you?
Kalen's mind is so beautiful. He's got a path in his head. I have no idea where it's going. I just really don't. We're just gonna ride this out. And I am going to introduce our guest tonight. We have a fantastic couple, husband and wife, both natty, and they recently competed at the Minnesota Mayhem, which we covered on Tuesday. So if you guys were not able to tune in, you want to go to the archives and check that out. In fact, you can go to the archives and check out any of our shows from the past 5 years. And
how about liking
you
us,
know,
too?
And yeah, you know, Kalen, talk to them about that. Talk to them about liking us, following the announcements, all of that good stuff. Tell them how it works.
Yes, we know you guys are listening because every time we see you at the shows, you remind us of how much you enjoy listening to us on the way home, to your way to work, putting yourself to sleep, which kind of hurts. But that's another talk to talk. But other than that, it's so much people that listen to our show but just don't want to follow along by clicking the follow button or the like button or anything else. So I'm kind of thinking you guys are a little scared to say what you like. You think people are following you too close? Huh? Maybe worried about your natural status? Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah, you just don't want to be honest about how much you love us? Is that what you're talking about? Well, hey, it's time to come clean, people. Start loving us because we love you. Guys,
there you have it. There you have it. So, our lovely couple that we have tonight.
Vegetables.
I will share. You know what? Actually, even though Kaylin's making fun of me, and that's okay because he just likes to pick on me sometimes, I am going to be posting on Facebook a picture of my roasted vegetables and the recipe in case any of you out there are interested, because it is super easy. It tastes really great, and it's an easy way to feed your family fresh vegetables that taste good. The prep time might take a little bit depending on how many different kind of vegetables you put in there, but it is fantastic. But enough about my roasted vegetables. Let's get on to Deej and Mariah Albrecht. Deej and Mariah, why don't you guys go ahead and say hello to listener land and tell them a little bit about yourself. Since it's always ladies first, Mariah, we'll start with you.
Hi. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Kaylin, my man, you got to eat those vegetables. What are you doing? those micronutrients are important.
Well,
like you said, I'm Mariah Albrecht from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I have been competing in bodybuilding competitions for 2 years now. I started last April? I don't know, whatever 2 years ago April was. my very first show was an NPC show, and after that one, we actually switched over to the Natural Federation, which we like so much better. Obviously, just more fitting to us, given that we are natural competitors.
Amen.
Yeah, heck yeah. Let's see. I don't know. Deej, do you want to jump in here?
Yeah, sure. My name is Deej. I'm Mariah's husband. I've been competing for the last 3 years myself. Also started in the NPC for my first show doing classic physique, and then I've graduated on to men's physique, and I've competed in OCB, IP, almost E, and then the last one we just did. What was the last one called? I forgot. The PNBA or IMBA? IMBA.
IMBA.
So, yeah, I loved it. I just really like the natural aspect of it. I really find it. It's very cool what everybody does with their bodies, and I'm never going to tell anybody it's different. It's just for myself and my lifestyle, I just really prefer the natural way.
All right, very cool. I said we like that natural way ourselves, don't we, KP?
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, and for the record, guys, it's PNBA, IMBA, so they're both the same. It's just one is international, one deals with the state. So you guys were not wrong in what you were saying.
Perfect. Honestly, we've also competed in the NAMBA. So we've been in a few different federations, yeah.
Yeah, it was NANBF, OCB, IPEA, and yeah, so we like our federations, I guess, to see what the way the shows kind of work and the flow of it and kind of find which one we want to start and stay in. So this last one was amazing, so I think we have a good future here.
Well, definitely.
Now,
I mean,
honestly,
the Minnesota Mayhem always amazing show.
No, I was going to say the Mayhem spoils you rotten. So you're actually cream of the crop. So I hope you understand when you pick shows that this is what you should expect, because that's the way the athletes should be respected and attended to, because it shows that their hard work is not in vain.
Absolutely. No, I really loved Mayhem. That was a really great show.
It never disappoints. It never disappoints. So, Deej, we already have a question from one of our listeners here. And Lane wants to know if Deej is a nickname or, dude, if that's just your name.
Yeah, so my full name is Donald John. But growing up, it was always abbreviated just because I was a junior. It got a little confusing. And then DJ came about for pretty much my entire life, and then everybody just started calling me Deej, and I just kind of fed off of it. And it's kind of cool to spell out because everybody's like, oh, how do you say it? It's like, well, it's kind of the same thing. It's very easy. So, it's kind of a dorky little thing I like to do, but, it's unique. Everybody knows it. So when my name is there, everybody kind of knows who you're talking about. So that's another reason why I kind of live by that. So.
Very good. So now we know. I was wondering the same thing. Actually, I thought maybe it was just kind of a Norlandic name, or I don't know. But anyway, so very good. Good to know. Fun facts. Those are fun. So
I remember when I found out his real name was Don. Oh, sorry.
How did that go over?
I was kind of floored. I was like, you're joking, right?
She didn't believe me.
I was like, you do not look like a Donald.
Hence why they go by D.
Very good. So I am curious. Now, you both started competing about the same time. Were you already married and decided just to compete together, or is that how you two met, or how did you guys get started in your competitive journeys?
No, so I actually, when we first met during like our dating stages, I was not really training for anything. I was just kind of, for my whole life, I've kind of battled, with some weight issues. Being through high school, I was a really heavy kid. And then coming out of it, I kind of just, found a light at the end of the tunnel for a new hobby that I really just enjoyed and fell in love with. So I was on my way up from that new discovery in my life. And then I kind of just shared that with, Mariah throughout it and just kind of educated her slowly on just like what I like to do. I didn't push anything, just kind of she had asked questions because she's curious and see like how someone, trained. It's different to go to the gym 3 days a week and do your normal routine. But then when you start talking about training and wanting to do a show and prepping and stuff, it's kind of, piques interest. So I had competed in my first show, North Star, actually, and that was 2 years ago. And after that, I kind of just randomly went and asked her. I'm like, you know what? I did it. Like, why can't you do it? Like, you should do a show. Like, and I was kind of halfway serious, but at the same time, I was like, let's, it'll be fun to do together because we both are, she's starting to like to work out. And one day I came home and she had a new pair of like leggings, I remember it. So it was a new pair of like Adidas leggings, and I thought she had bought them for me. And I was like, "Oh, these are nice. Like, thanks."
I don't know how you thought those were for you.
Oh my!
And well, they're blue, and they're great. They're super nice. So I'm like, "Oh, excellent, thanks." She goes, "Those are not for you." I'm like, "Well, why wouldn't you buy those for me? Like, I go to the gym and know this and that." She's like, "Well, I think I'm gonna use them for myself because I'm gonna do a show, and like, I didn't really put two and two together." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Wait, what? You're gonna do what?" And then from there on out, it was kind of just like, are you serious? I mean, that's really what kind of made us to who we are now, because that it just showed me the commitment level of like, if she's going to be there to support me, with just kind of meeting and learning about this lifestyle, that's absolutely humongous. And it goes to turn out that she's actually a professional at it. So it's kind of weird how that kind of just falls into place when it just takes maybe somebody to kind of help you find your niche. And it's exactly what we do.
All right, yeah. Very cool.
No, we actually just got married this year, so he actually proposed at my second show, his third show.
The Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans, yeah.
How cool is that? So were you at all nervous, Deej, that she wasn't going to say yes?
No. No, I knew that was going to be good. No reason to be nervous. It was just I was more nervous about messing it up. So what we did is after our show and everything, we went up to go take pictures on the backdrop, and I had a little dessert for her at the end of the competition. I said, let's open it and then take a bite. And then she ended up seeing that the ring was stuck into an Oreo cheesecake that one of our friends had made for us, and from there on out, it's been history.
Aw, how sweet is that? Well, that
is
awesome. So I guess
pun intended.
You,
yeah.
Hey,
so I guess
working.
you guys have pretty much always prepped as a couple. So Bill wants to know, husband and wife prep, yay or nay?
Absolutely, 100%. I wouldn't do it any other way.
I'd say it's worked really well for us. I mean, we understand the highs and lows of it because we're both doing it. The other nice thing is, typically if one of us is feeling a little extra unmotivated one day, the other one's got just enough pep in their step to kind of pick, he'll pick me up or I'll pick him up. And we complement each other really nicely. Like, he's really, really good with the actual physical training part of everything. And my strong point would be more the nutrition. So we complement each other really well in that way.
No, let's not get
all
it
right,
twisted.
Well,
I just didn't want to be on prep on low calories and while she's sitting over there eating whatever she wants. I'm not trying to be about that, so that's not fair. So we had to do it together. I know
so
how that would go because I know I would do
out.
The same thing.
No, it's definitely been
now
nice
the truth
to kind of
comes
share that
out.
Experience together.
All right, that's cool. That's very cool. And so, and speaking of your prep, and I'm glad that you brought up Nutrition Mariah because Larry, he says, I've seen your link. So cool points to Larry for actually reading the details of the link because you do put those out prior to the show. he says they are vegan. What's their way of getting their right amount of protein?
Oh, I love this question. So I love this question.
Well, I mean, there's protein in everything, and a lot of people don't understand that. And we're still navigating it ourselves. We are newbie vegans. We actually just switched over right after our last show in September, so it's only been a couple of months. But, you know, we've been doing a lot of research and just trying to educate ourselves behind it. And, you know, of course, being in the bodybuilding world and everything, like, there is such an emphasis on protein, but when you do your research and you learn, you know, that there's protein in basically everything you eat, you know, we do eat a lot of beans. I really like tofu. Just kind of everything. What do you have to add, babe?
Just to kind of add to that, I mean, if you look at everything, I mean, granola bars and snacks and stuff like that, everything is protein packed, and, you know, whether it's 5 grams or 10 grams or 50 grams. To be in real reality is your body really doesn't do much with the excess protein that you take in on a lower level. So you really only need daily about 30 to 40 grams to maintain your mass and to repair, because the rest of it is just, in a way, if you could say, a toxicity to it, because it's an overload and you just don't really need it. So when you eat raw and you eat the differences, or you get a vegan protein powder, you really only need to supplement that when you don't get enough food, because I honestly have literally cut protein powder out. I have stopped taking it completely. I used to take almost three shakes a day, and I actually have gotten maintainedly bigger and sustained, and I just feel like my muscles aren't over-toxified with, you know, unnecessary protein that gets turned into literally nothing after it's stored. So I just think that the world is so driven.
I just want to add, it can get turned into fat.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you continue to do that, and like I said, with plant-based protein, it's a lot easier for your body to digest. And with whey protein or concentrates, those are actually very toxic to you, because not only were you correct, they turn into fat, but they also are stored, not used for energy after a while. So when you store something and doesn't use for energy, we all know what happens. It turns into fat that's very hard to get rid of. So the compound of protein really, it really doesn't exist. If you really look at how the body and the structure is built around muscle, it's important, yes, but carbs are going to be your best friend when it comes to that, because carbs, you can literally eat as many simple carbohydrates as you honestly really want to. And people think carbs make you fat, and that's completely the opposite of what the actual reality is.
Yeah. I used to tell people that were stuck on, I mean, because, you know, we have a all or nothing kind of mentality when it comes to certain things. And I know that some people are so fanatical about what they believe simply because they're so all into that belief that they're willing to do, almost even overlook the truth to basically get to the point that they want to get to. And I've been really concerned about that when it comes to health and fitness, because there has to be a balance. I think some of our best guests have always been so balanced in their methodology and ideology that they can hear other outside ideas, and either it works or it doesn't, but they're at least willing to listen. And I've always been shocked by people who are so driven that they almost run somebody over just to keep from hearing, you know, anything that's in disagreement with what they're saying. So, you know, when I used to hear about the protein, and I'm not vegan by any stretch, but it would just be amazing how they would, you know, just be, it's protein, protein, protein. And I said, well, how much does your body assimilate? Because after that, the rest is either going to the toilet or to the fat. So I never understood that that whole methodology. And, you know, sad to say, we still have people that are sticking with that ideology because it's so engrossed in that thinking. But it's good to hear that there's options out there for, you know, especially when you, like, I know there's certain people that don't make that much money and still be able to get their body to be addressed as far as repair, restructuring, and recovery. That's a nice option to put out there because not everyone that listens to our show actually wants to compete or is actually in a competitive mode of training. So thanks, guys, for sharing that. One of the things I did want to bring up is that you guys are new to this, but you're not basically getting away from your own understanding of life and being a healthy couple. So now how do you balance that with all the changes that you guys are doing?
Well, I kind of kick-started this. Like, I went vegan first. It's something I'd been kind of curious about, you know, over kind of off and on over the years. And I've always tried to, like, really focus on micronutrient intake, too, because it is so important, regardless of, you know, if you're plant-based or, you know, a total carnivore, it's good to get those veggies in. Kaylin.
Man, why don't you leave him alone?
Right?
Just,
he's roasted vegetables.
You know.
No, it's okay.
Delicious. And I totally lost my train of thought there, but I kind of kicked it off first. I kicked it off first. I did it for probably about a month before he jumped on, and it wasn't something that, you know, I'm not the pushy type of person. Like, everybody has to make their own nutritional decisions for themselves, like what works for them. And I felt the same way with him. Like, I'm not going to push him into doing something that he doesn't want to do, just like he didn't push me into competing. You know, he suggested it, maybe recommended it as something to do, but, you know, we never try to, like, push our own ideals on each other. And so I think it was just a matter of time before he had kind of seen the information that I was really looking into, because when I dive into something, I, like, dive into it. You know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to find every ounce of information I can to make sure that, you know, especially since we are in such a physical, you know, everything that we're doing is competing and stuff, and I was in the middle of prep when I decided to make the switch, so I just wanted to know everything I could possibly know. And I think once he got, you know, a taste of kind of what I was doing and,
no pun intended,
and the information that I was, and the information that I was coming up with is when he kind of, you know, a little, like, light bulb kind of flicked in his head, too, and I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but.
Yeah, I'll just kind of, I mean, just to share, I mean, for the record, I mean, she's completely correct. I mean, she did never, you know, I obviously support any decision that she does. It's extremely important, especially with this sport, because there's a lot of ways that you can go. And, you know, sometimes you obviously put your foot down if something is not going to be correct. But, I mean, it's just it's a lifestyle, and I thought it was great. I'm like, you know, try that. You have fun with eating your plants, and I'll stick to my steak. And that's totally great.
You did go and buy a steak that night too.
I bought a huge one just to eat it right in front of her, just to be like, I was so kind of just against it, you know, because I was like, wow. I used to be one of those people that would just like make fun of people that did that, and I apologize for that. On live, I apologize for that because I didn't have my research. But for the record, no, there was no pressure. I mean, she would hint a little bit, saying like, give me little facts of things, and you know, I'm kind of just myself and hard-headed. I'm like, yeah, okay. So we actually went to go watch a documentary that aired. It's available on Netflix now. And just seeing a different perspective. It's kind of like when you listen to somebody one time and you don't get it, but you may hear the same words from another person and you relate. All the documentaries I've ever seen had nothing to do with bodybuilding. It had nothing to do with athletes. It just had everything to do with kind of targeting other markets of seeing why they're bad, and that just never showed me an advantage. But then watching this documentary with seeing blood tests and then what it actually does, the amounts and rates of number statistics that were proven at major universities and live effects and testing, after watching that, it literally made me switch. I mean, I already had it set in my mindset that it's something I need to do, just with health issues in my family with, you know, that I don't have, thankfully now, but I could have them in the future. So why not prepare my body to be the best it can? Because health is wealth at the end of the day. You could have as much money as you want, but if your body is terrible, you're not going to be able to use that. So people need to look at the broader spectrum of what's actually important in reality. And I think that when people see the difference for themselves and they make the interpretation for themselves, because that's what it takes to make a switch. You know, you have to see a benefit for yourself. I think that it will make everybody happier. And I literally went home that same night and threw all my meat away, all that milk away, dumped it, cheese, everything like that. And it just,
we donated what we heard in Kayla's heart.
Yeah. But Kaylin, understand from where I'm coming from too, I cannot honestly, as a good person, give somebody else a product that I know is going to hurt them because they're am I doing them any good.
I said the same thing about alcohol. Got you.
Yep, there you go. So I when people ask me for recommendations and saying, oh, what kind of protein do you take? Well, I take plant-based protein. Oh, what kind of, you know, do you like this one, that? I can't honestly give you a recommendation because it's, you know, quite frankly, it's terrible for you. I wouldn't be doing you a service if I didn't give you honest feedback, you know, and that's where it kind of makes it with people.
Yeah, I totally get what you guys are saying. And, you know, I've always said this about fitness as a whole. You can't force anyone into it. And I think relationships don't work because people are trying to force people to do things. Anytime you try to force a hand, you end up doubling back even worse the outcome. And people will get so far away. I remember, like you said, you know, in a comparison with just eating the steak in front of people. I remember when I was asking a guy not to smoke around me, and all of a sudden he's just smoking two or three just because I asked him not to do it. And I was like, you know, I'm not understanding why you're so mad. You can't make me do anything. And I was like, I'm not trying to make you do something. I'm just saying it's not a good option for your life. And it was just such a feedback that I was like, wow, kind of blown away. But I could see where people are threatened when you ask them to change because, you know, it's an outside source basically telling someone to change internally, and that usually doesn't come back in a good way. And like you said, it's got to be two or three or 20 or 100 times where they finally get the understanding of, hey, maybe this is a better option. And if it's not, hey, you know, it's up to you, and it's not going to change the friendship, and I'm not going to hate you for life. Because I think, you know, in the climate we have right now, you know, it's almost like you can't be a friend and tell someone honestly and openly what you expect or think, because it's going to cause such a negative reaction. I think a lot of people don't want to tread that water. And you know, vegan is not a touchy subject like it used to be, but it still rocks the boat for certain people because the thought of them changing their dietary habits is almost too much to ask. And when you think about the health, like you said, when you're talking about people's health, you're thinking, well, wouldn't you at least want to try? You know, if the doctor is telling you that your health is so poor and so bad, why not give it an option?
Yep. Well, and it's funny, too, because people will try every fad diet in the book, you know, with no success.
See, and I was
like,
thinking the same thing.
It's like when you say, like, oh, well, have you tried, like, plant-based? Like, what about, like, cutting out meat and dairy and all of these, like, inflammatory foods and stuff? And it's like, oh, God, no, I couldn't do that. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like,
how I can't live without my cheese.
Well,
you know what?
Yeah, it's like, but
you can
go keto and completely get rid of, like, all carbs.
Let's not talk about keto.
Yeah.
No.
We will not. We will not talk about keto.
Yeah, definitely not getting on that subject.
So you guys are totally hitting on, I mean, I know we started off just talking about protein and vegan and it's blossomed into a lot of different directions, but then I'm so glad you brought up the fad diets because honestly, guys, if she didn't, I was going to because there's a warning in it. I have a friend whose son right now believes because of something he saw on Instagram that he should only be eating steak.
he's doing the carnivore
diet. And so he's eating like six steaks a day. And this is not even about vegan, non-vegan, meat bad for you, whatever, but only eating steak
That is bad for you. It is not good. There is no balance. Your body needs so many other macro and micronutrients that red meat cannot provide to you. But the point is, he's believing the hype of some Insta fitness guru, and now this is what he's doing, and no one can convince him otherwise.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that's
so
like the part about social media is it can be so great, and it can also, you know, do things like that and convince people of these radical things.
So the other crazy thing, there's actually something I had actually read today in an article. I can't remember where it was, but I would tell. But I was reading that a lot of top tier athletes are actually kind of like in the dark by adopting this diet, but the problem is when you have athletes, you have sponsorships and endorsements, and you make money off of that. So is it going to be more beneficial for you to just kind of drop millions of dollars because you want to, you know, live your life? Or are you going to continue endorsing something that is really kind of keeping you in the dark? And, I mean, if you do your research, it's actually factual where, I mean, there's about almost 35% of pro athletes have the adopted plant-based diet, but they just can't come out to say it because it would ruin their reputation of the companies that they endorse.
Yeah.
Sure. No doubt. Kaylin, did you have something else you wanted to jump in with there?
Yeah. The thing, I've seen people that are in really a health crisis, and to say that I won't even look in that direction is frightening to me, because it's almost like they're fighting against an imaginary demon. And I've
we
never
don't have
seen
a thought process.
Yeah. And it scares me that, because, you know, the methodology of how we go about things is it has to be this way. And as much as I have lived my life, I've lived and learned. And, you know, the things I did in my past, there's a lot of things I had to omit from my life now, even to certain people that I can't be around, simply because they will draw out that negative or the unhealthy mental aspect of life. So, you know, it's to sit there and say that they'd have to be in my life for the rest of my life would be just damaging to myself. And I think it's the same thing it should be seen with diets. It's the same thing that should be seen with people. You know, there's certain things that just aren't good for you. And it's amazing. I will hold on to that negativity just to hold on to what we're used to. And, you know, I think that it gets away from who we should be as to where we really are. That's what I just wanted to add.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I mean, we are very new to it. We're not extremists by any means, like I said. I think we hit it pretty good on the head. Where I would more rather people tell me no the first few times that I do talk to them about it, because then it shows that if they do have a change of mind, they did their research. And you want to know what? They did it by themselves, and it's a self-involved decision, and it's not me provoking. So that is the way that we approach everybody that we talk to about this. Their decision is made by them. So that is one thing that we do take a lot of pride in, is that we don't need to convince people. We need them to convince themselves. We just want to be the start of that journey.
And that's with anything. I mean, you know, spirituality, just so many things. People have to figure it out for themselves, and they should. I mean, and that's often the case of what Kaylin and I tell everybody. It's like, do your homework. We're going to bring guests on the show to share information. We're going to have our own thoughts and opinions. We're going to share information. But at the end of the day, you need to do your homework, check it out for yourself, figure it out for yourself, and go from there. So,
100%.
And speaking of which, we have some interesting questions popping up here. This one is for you, Kaylin. Dave wants to know if you are speaking against meat.
Listen up. I know a lot of people. You know, my mom was a nurse, so I've been around nutrition longer than I can ever even imagine or remember. And
there are some things in meat that just aren't good for certain people's bodies. And if I understand that, why would I sit there and say, go ahead and eat it, when I know the damage it's going to do? I'm not saying it's happening to everyone, but, people's DNA are different. Our genetics are different. And some people can assimilate a lot more meat than others. And I can remember my best example was when my aunt had tried, was going to an all vegetable and fruit diet, and she was going to make the cat do the same thing. And that poor cat suffered like you did a man. Said, wow, you're really hard on that cat. And she got so frustrated with me because I was just the dumbest thing in life, because look at how good she was looking. But I said, look at how bad the cat's looking. It's losing its hair. It's got no life. I mean, yeah. So you can imagine. And that was like the first example I had of it's just not a good fit. And so, like they're saying, you should have the option. You shouldn't be made to do it. And that's what I'm saying. If I know that some people's bodies are better without as much protein or as much meat, then of course I'm going to tell them, because I care about them. I want them to be healthy. And if they see me eating a porterhouse, I'll just tuck it away until they're not around anymore. I mean, I don't mind doing stuff like that, because it's about them and their health. I mean, if I got to sit there and have a steak every 2.6 hours, then the problem's in my head, not on them. And if they're better off with not having any protein for a whole week and maybe a salmon on the weekend, then, hey, I'm here to make sure that they have that option. But you can't sit there and tell people, because I do it, you have to do it, and this is what works for everybody because it works for me. That's not how it works, and life has never been set up or designed that way. So, if I have to speak against it, then yes, I will. But if I don't, then pass the steak with the A1 sauce. I mean, I'm still good.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm not laughing about your stance, but you opened up the imagery of the cat, and I'm still stuck.
Well, and
on
it's
the
kind
cat.
Of funny because even just the other day we were at PetSmart and we were looking at bone. We have two dogs, and so we're like, does it make us bad vegans if we buy our dogs bones still? Like, but their bodies, they're meant to be. I mean, we contemplated it for real. We're like, is this like, I don't know, like, so.
Like I said, the deed has already been done. We'll just give it to good use. At least we didn't partake in it. But a dog is supposed to eat the meat, so here you go.
Yes.
Right. Well, I'll just put this in there. So my mom had to put her dog on a diet because she was just too fat. So she gets her food supplemented with green beans. So there you go. So
we give our
little more
okay,
here
you go.
Potatoes, yeah.
Here you
sweet
go.
Potatoes
and
peppers.
This is an example of what we're talking about.
Jackson,
this
even
is a very good example of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If we understood just how bad human food is, give it to an animal or someone that's not used to being on American diet, and you will see how much crap is in the food. And so, when the dogs are given human food, they blow up like blips. And it's like a remarkable, like within months, they have heart disease, they have high blood pressure, they've got high cholesterol. Everything it seems to run in a human being is now happening to the animals, because now they're eating human food. So if you're always feeding your animals table scraps, beware. Your dog ain't going to be around long. You're a cat either.
Yeah.
It's true. It's very true.
Back on track. I'm sorry, but I just had to share the story about my mom's fat dog. My little wiener dog got put on a diet too, but she did not get green beans.
Good.
Okay. Although the green beans, I don't believe are going to hurt her. Now, if I had fed her a bunch of Cheetos, that might have been different. Okay.
That'd be a different story.
We're not going to say Cheetos. How much info is out there about vegan diets is actually true? This question is from Sam. She says, I've seen a lot of bad info out there that most assuredly needs to be researched. So I guess a good question would be, and anybody can answer this, but we'll start with DJ Mariah. How do you know if you've got a good info source?
So pretty much, and it's a great question because I do a lot of vivid research myself. So a thing that a lot of people don't really realize is that the internet is highly controlled with what they want you to see. So when you type in vegan diet yep. on Google, you're going to get some good stuff, but you're going to also see a lot of contradictory evidence on things that are put out there. And you have to really pay attention to the wording and where the studies are done and also the sources that you get. So when you start doing research, you'll learn really where credible sources are. So any major universities, a lot of studies are done at Oxford. Those are people that you'd want to pay attention to. They have a very exquisite health and fitness and nutrition course there. So Oxford is a big place that does testing. So anywhere through there would be very credible. Now, if you get something from a makeshift news channel that has statistics, I mean, that could have been made by anybody. So really doing mm-hmm. your research and then also find influences that you like that you can feed off of, because those people most likely, if you're feeding off of them, it means you have a connection with them and you're going to learn similar to the way they are because you're going to be more in tune from that person saying it. So not saying that's always going to be correct, but when you find a good source of media and you find something you can stick with, it's a great yes. way and a pathway. Also, watch and read a ton of books and documentaries. You can really pick apart and compare evidence, but at the end of the day, there's really no lying about it, because if you lie about it, a lot of this stuff has been proven. It's just silenced deeper and deeper away until you find that right source. So I think, I mean, the best thing would do is just do as much research as possible. Talk to real life people who have lived through it. They don't have to be doctors, but people who have been maybe the switch for a year. Just ask their personal experiences. Just because you read something online doesn't mean it's going to work exactly like that. But if you ask certain people who have lived that lifestyle or they're still continuing that lifestyle, ask their progress, ask what was hard. I mean, most likely when people make switches, if they're smart about it, they do a lot of research. So when people come up to us and ask a lot of questions, we don't have to think about it. We just know the answer because we take passion in. So find people who are passionate other than just the internet, because that's going to really lead you in a lot of dead-end roads where you're going to start reading. You're like, oh, this is great, but then there's no conclusion of the testing or there's no continued study of that. So, I mean, there's a lot of that out there too. So, like I said, just do your research, find like-minded people, and just find something that works for you.
Amen to that.
Some really good resources that you could look into just to kind of start and get a good sense of direction. Nutritionfacts.org is a really good website. Plantbasedresearch.org is another one as well. I'd say, there's some good podcasts. I know one of the books I recently read is Proteinaholic by Dr. Garth Davis. So that's a really good one to start with. But yeah, like you said, just kind of like doing your research and just kind of, making sure it's from credible sources. I know that can be hard sometimes, but I'd say if you kind of start with those websites and stuff have some really good resources. And once you're kind of on those, they kind of lead to other resources. It's like once you get on the trail, like the path, it's a little bit easier to follow.
All right. Very good. Kaylin, anything to add?
Well, I don't want to sound like what's the best way to say this? Because they're exactly right what they're saying. So I want to piggyback it, but I don't want to sound like I'm just being a soundboard off of what they're saying, because you have to do your research, and if you don't, then you don't really care about the outcome. You're pretty much trying to steer it in the way you want it to go anyway. And that's never
the way. Yeah, you're trying to follow the fad diet mindset, and that's exactly what we want to untrain people to, because – how many pro bodybuilders are online that say, oh, 6-week programming, here's pictures, you can do this. That program, just because it's from, a pro bodybuilder, doesn't mean it's made conducted around your body. It's a cookie cutter makeshift program, and that's why it doesn't work. So when you feed off of the easy facts of lifestyle switching, you're never going to learn the proper way to do it because you're following the directions of somebody else.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. He just finished what I was saying. Yes, thank you.
And there you have it. Mitchell says, I like their thinking. Good call with these two. Brent says, there are usually a group of people that are surveyed or tested to make sure there is a small error of false information given. So I'm glad that they aren't saying they did this and it was 100% the best way to go. Kudos to them. So there you have it, guys.
Awesome. Thank
resonating
you.
With listener land. All right. Actually, oh, we're going to shift gears now. We're going to leave Veganville and we're going to go back to the Minnesota Mayhem. And this one is from Luke, and he says, they were at the Mayhem. How did they do? I don't remember their names from Tuesday. Well, Luke, we did share some names on Tuesday.
We did.
And Mariah was there. But go ahead, guys. Talk to us about your experience at the Mayhem and how you did.
You want to go?
Yeah, so I'll go first. I went and I competed in men's open class short for men's physique. I did take fourth out of six. So I obviously feel I could have done a little bit better. That's completely on me. But, you know, it was an amazing experience with the show. It was one of the best put-on shows, and I had a ton of fun doing it. I got excellent feedback from the judges for where I needed to improve. And, I mean, as long as you are a competitor, I stress this, not enough. If you cannot take constructive feedback, do not think about stepping on the stage. That is just a terrible mindset for yourself. You're going to let yourself down. At the end of the day, you're going to be a poor sport. And you know what? Promoters see that, and they're not going to want you at their shows. I've seen a lot of that happen. It's very minuscule, but if you are a true competitor and you understand the rules, it's kind of an unsaid rule that sportsmanship is there. No matter if you get beat by an inch or a mile, you always, always never show it. And I've been learning that myself as well. So, like I said, it has nothing to do really with me, but my placing was fourth out of six, and I had a great time with it.
Yeah, awesome. It was a really fun show. It was a really fun show. I really liked it, too. It was the first show that we've done that wasn't, like, super close to our house, so it was kind of nice. It was up in Duluth. We got to make a little weekend trip out of it. If you were at the show, I don't know if you could quite miss me. I was in the bikini open tall class. I'm the girl with the blue hair. I did place first in my class and snatched up that pro card, which was really, really exciting. So I'm still kind of on cloud nine from that experience.
Awesome. And so then in getting your pro card, you also qualified for something else.
I did?
For next year, yes.
Oh, for next year, yes. Okay.
Come on, keep it together here. Jesus.
I'm like, okay. yes.
Sorry, I left you hanging there.
No, I was like, am I missing something here? Yeah, there's $10,000 on the line for next year, I guess, right?
Minnesota Mayhem next year, pro bikini class, first place winner, or the overall, I'm going to assume here, walks away with $10,000, and you have to be invited to compete in that competition. So that is not any pro can just show up. And she did also qualify for the Natural Olympia.
Oh,
so there you go.
You knew it. Hey, I was gonna.
She's
I
like,
well,
I didn't even know.
You knew this. Yeah, we're gonna master the overall first.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm hoping. I did plan on taking some time out. I did get some feedback from the judges as well as far as coming back for my pro debut. I think it would be pretty cool to kind of come back and debut at the Mayhem again. I feel like, you know, that might be what I have my sights set on. So definitely going to take some time off and just build in some areas and hopefully come back really, really strong.
I'm to the point
and
where
I don't
have
doubt
to care
that
about
that's
my
what
training.
Happen.
I just really want to train her to become the best.
Hold on, because I think you guys would still make a dynamic duo by coming out on stage at the same time, because you weren't that far off. Like I said, when I was telling you, your presentation, the only thing that was lacking was that you weren't
facing all of the judges. You were basically giving your all to one. And so that was the only thing that was costing against you. So hey, you did very good on stage. You have a very good presentation. Don't sell yourself
you.
Short. So
No, definitely not. Yeah, it's just so exciting to see, you know, the dream of what she's been chasing come to reality. And now it's just like, you know, I just want to take every step forward to make sure it's, you know, exactly the path and make sure everything is pinpoint
perfect.
Here's
the thing. If you guys are doing the team thing, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean,
yeah,
both,
right.
There's a certain camaraderie. He's coming for that credit card next year.
Oh yeah, I'll take it home next year. I got some stuff to work on, but trust me, I'll be back bigger and better.
Yes, sir. That's what I need to hear because it takes so much, and I know that we've got a lot of couples that have been competing, and it's a beautiful thing. And one of the things they do is they feed off each other in a good way because they can deal with those times and those days because they both remember exactly what's going on because they're both dealing
with
it in a similar fashion. So, you know, never forget that aspect, and there's always balance to anything. And you guys sound really good with what's going on. So when you were hearing the feedback, my goodness, I can't even follow this one. I'll let Dad ask.
So I think what we're interested in here is, would you mind sharing some of the judges' feedback? We talk a lot about getting the feedback from the judges, but I don't think we've ever really shared any real-life examples of the kind of feedback that judges get. So, and you don't have to share everything, but if you wouldn't mind, maybe just like one thing a piece of what the judges were recommending that you guys work on for the next time that you step on stage.
Yeah, so I mean, the head judge, Mike Newman, actually he was the head judge at the OCB Vikings. So we actually got to see me two times, and that was really special to me because the first time around he gave me some good feedback and just said, you need to be leaner. I came in with size. I was flat. I had a lot of cortisol levels and cortisol issues that day with some issues that happened the morning before competing. So I obviously was not full mindset. And that really takes a toll on you as a competitor. I mean, you work so hard to get so tight and dry and lean. And one issue with stress comes, and stress is a killer, man. I tell you, it really is. And it'll make or break you as an athlete. You can be the most shredded guy up there. You can look huge. And then all of a sudden you get one phone call or you get some information that just doesn't sit well and you absolutely lose everything. So stress management is very key and important, which is why it's good to be on, you know, tune with it. But the second time around at the Mayhem, you know, Mike had me placed a little bit higher than what I did do just because he did see the improvement of getting lean. I had lost about 6.5 full pounds of fat for 3.5 weeks after actually doing the switch to the vegan diet. And it shows on my Instagram. You can go and take a look at all my transformations. I actively post that because I feel it's very important for people to see the reality versus what people just see on stage. And then I was just told this time I had everything there. Posing was, you know, top notch. I have no issues with that. I just need to get wider and bigger if I want to compete in the men's physique division, which is exactly where I'm going to put my footprint because that's exactly where I need to be.
Yeah. And I also did the Viking, you know, 2 months before Mayhem, and at that show I was told, you know, I had placed second in that show, and I was told just to come in a little bit leaner as far as Mayhem goes, and I did. I brought it back around, leaned out a little bit, and then as far as coming back as a pro, one piece of feedback I got was just to work on the legs a little bit, quads specifically, kind of getting those quad sweeps in. So it was really nice to have a more specific piece of the puzzle to kind of, you know, set my sights on and work towards. So.
All right, very good. Ooh,
and
thanks for sharing. Because
I mean, it's very minuscule. I mean, but that's the things that matter is, you know, work on your delts just to get a little bit more illusion, get your lats a little wider just to create the illusion as being bigger than you really are. I mean, it's down to those very small ketone things, and those are the things that matter to judges because everybody has a build and a frame, but what sets you apart from that guy that you're sitting there is all different to every judge. You have to take the feedback constructively, and just really, I think multiple feedbacks from multiple judges will really turn you into an amazing athlete, because you're taking feedback from 5-6 different judges and you're maintaining it and perfecting it. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't really ask for more if you do that. So just self-discipline with that is key.
Very good. I mean, and I couldn't agree more. And so thanks for sharing that. And I don't know why, Kaylin, we've never thought about that before, but, you know, it really is important. And, you know, sometimes you don't always get comments from judges. I think they're so busy watching and scoring, they forget to write down what they were scoring. And so when you have a panel of judges, that can give you, you know, the constructive feedback and have lots of notes, because they're not always going to remember names and faces. If you have shows with hundreds of competitors gracing the stage, there's no way they can remember each and every person after the fact when they're not in front of them. So anytime a judge has good notes, lots of notes, it's a good deal. So do take time to get those critiques. And I mean, they're there
to
help make you better.
He's always got some feedback.
Who, Mike Newman?
Yes. He's never afraid
yes,
to get the
feedback. Yes, he does.
Oh,
no,
goodness.
Mike Superhuman Newman. There you have it.
I
got
love
it.
That.
All right, guys.
What a great guy.
Well, in that he is. That he is. And he's been around a long time, knows a lot. So it's always good to have, you know, feedback from him when you can. And we are down to the last couple minutes of the show. I can't believe that went by so fast. It always does. It always does. So as we get ready to close here, I know, it's because we always do have fun. As we get ready to close, when we do have a chance, we like to give our guests a chance to give shout-outs to anyone and everyone who has been there for them in their bodybuilding journey. And I believe this is the first time we've ever will have done a couple shout-outs. So here we go. Now we'll have another first on the Deej and Mariah P4P Real Talk Show. But here you have it, folks. Go ahead and just give shout-outs to anyone who is on your heart.
Yeah, I can start with we've had, you know, our same coach. We actually got coached by the same person. His name is Alan Moles, and he owns Macro Moles Training. So we wouldn't be where we are without his help, just getting ready and everything like that. Also, my posing coach. I had a lot of people inquire about that just because of my routine. You can see it live on the Inside Natural Bodybuilding. You can also see it live on my Instagram. But I think I put on an extremely good show. A lot of people reached out, but Jacob Pomeroy, he's a student out of Hudson, Wisconsin. He owns Cobra Aesthetics, and I really highly encourage, if anybody's going to compete, get a dang posing coach. Do not go up there and make yourself look terrible. You work so hard to do that. I've seen people lose it because their posing is just not there. It's extremely important, so I stress that. So that's Cobra.Aesthetics. He's amazing. He's very knowledgeable. And then just overall my family, obviously my beautiful wife would be here either way without her. And that's what keeps me going, you know, every day is that something more fun. Like after our radio, we are going to work out at Los Campeones in Minneapolis. That is our home gym. So we're going to go hit the gym and hit some upper body and just make sure we continue our journey going. Los Campeones, if you ever tried it, the best gym in town. It's literally their slogan. I highly recommend it if you want to be surrounded by like-minded individuals who have a goal at the end of the day. So that's pretty much the main people that I have. You can go ahead and say whoever.
Yeah, I agree with him. Definitely, you know, our parents have been a huge support, just family in general. And I'd also like to thank my posing coach, Rebecca Moore, with Be More Posing. She's been awesome. She coached me for my first Natty show. We had kind of jumped into our first Natty show after an NPC show that had gotten canceled 2 weeks prior. So I found out very last minute that the posing was completely different, and she kind of took me under her wing. So I've been working with her since last year, and she's just been amazing. She's really good at, you know, finding what works with your body, and she knows all the different federations posing. So anytime we've done a different show that had a different style of posing, she's been able to be there and kind of coach me through that. So, yeah, I'd say that's probably it.
One thing, well, be more for posing coach is from Team Berglund. Anybody in the natural bodybuilding world knows who Team Berglund is. So that is the other people who have been a big help with us, just with motivation and being there as a pro and somebody to look up to. So.
All right, very cool. Well, good. And great names to throw out so people know and they can check them out if they happen to be in the area or want to get connected. So, guys, if you didn't write them down fast enough, that's okay. You can go to the archives. You can fast forward to the end and listen again. Go ahead.
You better
not. Fast forward to the end. Just listen to the whole show again. That's right. Just take it all in. Take it all in. So with that, thanks so much, DJ Mariah. It has been a lot of fun. It's too much fun in some aspects, but it was all good. So on behalf
of... And if I can add one more thing.
Go ahead.
If I can add one more thing really quick. Yeah, just quick before we go. So we are not working ourselves way into a plant-based nutrition transition way of life. So any couples or anybody who are that are out there that would like to reach out and just talk with us, learn how we did it. It's a little bit easier to, you know, message and get a feel and talk directly. We're very open to helping anybody that wants to just learn informational. Obviously, it's going to be exactly the way we talked to you today. Just want to let everybody know that we are a very good resource for what, you know, to help.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the offer, and hopefully folks out there that are interested, hopefully they'll take you up on that. But
absolutely.
All right, guys, here we go. Snickerdoodle shout out, Kalen.
Yeah, a snickerdoodle is always best on roasted vegetables.
That is right. So, on behalf of DJ Mariah, roasted vegetable lovers everywhere, Kalen Patterson, the boys from P4P Muscle, and myself, your body is a temple, so let's build it.